We'll be reading from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble, for they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May God bless us as we hear his word.
Good morning, everyone. What does a little boy do with one of these? There's a lot of things you can do with this. You can paint it. It can become your little friend. Given the right environment, the edge of a lake, per se, this can become a wonderful adventure of skip, skip, skipping. And of course, I'm going to silence my phone at this point. There we go. Of course, every mother knows what to say when a little boy gets one of these in his hand. Put that down, you'll put someone's eye out. Well, yeah, little boys throw these. When I was a kid, stones were only limited by your imagination. We built forts and dams that rivaled any hydroelectric or military base, MacDaquac or Base Cagetown could muster. Perhaps the single most enjoyable pastime for a 10-year-old boy is in the art of throwing the stone. What is it with little boys and stones? Why is it that a gravel driveway becomes the most irresistible hallowed place on earth? Well, I'm not so sure the guy driving on the motorcycle thought about it the same way I did. To this day, I'm not sure why I threw the stone. No one dared me. My brother didn't trick me. You know, personally, I don't take any comfort in or have any desire to strike fear or hurt any living thing. That being said, the stone still flew out of my hand in an attempt to see if I could hit a moving target. I'm not exactly sure where I hit the motorcycle, but I sure heard it. The sound reverberated in my, and I can still hear it in my mind, and it definitely indicated that I was capable of hitting a moving target. That was when surprise, shock, and horror, which are all good ways to describe how I felt, ran through my body as I became a moving target. And I ran to the house and I hid behind my dad's reclining chair. Well, after consultations with who ended up being one of our neighbors about his motorcycle, I had a new experience, not with stoneware, but with wooden utensils. And I'll just let you think about that. A stone. It is really what you do with it. You know, today what I want to talk about is the fact that through Jesus Christ the Lord, we don't have to live life throwing these anymore. And I don't know where you are in life, but I have spent my life in many different ways throwing these stones. And they happen for a number of reasons. Because of fear, because of anger, because of envy, because of greed, because of pride. I've thrown many stones in my life. Well, the truth is, and we're going to look in our passage, the truth is that your stone can be part of something that is absolutely world-changing through Jesus Christ the Lord. How would you like to be part of something that is world-changing? Wouldn't that be great? I spoke a number of weeks ago about what is the one thing that every pageant goer says they dream of, right? And it's the thing, these beautiful, intelligent, very talented, accomplished young women. You know, there's always one of them that gets up in front of 10 million people and says that, you know, the one thing they desire most of all, above anything else, is world peace, right? Well, I want that too. What if I told you that your stone can be a building piece to bring world peace? God invites you to be part of His house. And it all starts with Jesus. He says in verse 4, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to talk about a number of things that we're going to get to in a moment. But what Peter is doing here is he is describing what KBC has been up to all these years. We are in the quote-unquote business of introducing others to Jesus. And it's our goal as a church to bring people closer to Jesus so that they might discover that He is the foundational piece that they need for life. Because it all starts with Jesus. And God invites us, and Peter talks about it in this analogy of stones, of living stones, of building a building, that when we come to Jesus, we can be part of His house. So Peter describes Jesus as what? As the living stone. We read this right off the bat in verse 4. And then he breaks it down into, I guess, what I could refer to as an engineering portrait. And Peter does this by drawing us back to a few different passages from the book of Isaiah and the book of the Psalms to reveal that Jesus is the most important part of God's building, the church. So he's talking about this church, the universal church, right? Speaking back in history from the earliest beginnings of the mentioning of the church, we have the early church referring to it as the Catholic Church. Now, that doesn't mean Roman Catholic. It doesn't mean that Holy Redeemer is the church up the road, but we're not because we don't have the name Catholic in it. That's not what that refers to. Catholic just simply means universal. It means all the churches together. And so Peter goes through and describes how Jesus is the foundational piece to the church. And it starts with Jesus. Now, he uses 3 points here to describe how Jesus accomplishes this. The first one is this: he is the foundation. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. He is essential. He talks about him being the chief and cornerstone. Now, knowing just from architecture, the cornerstone is a very important piece, right? It's the piece in which all other parts of the building are going to be built upon. And so that is your most important. It needs to be level and square and strong and capable. And so Peter describes Jesus just that way. And he uses a few passages in particular to describe this. He uses Isaiah 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28 and verse 16, we're in the middle of a story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, who is terrified of the nation of Assyria, the Assyrians coming and conquering his kingdom. And so Hezekiah, he does a number of things. He tries to make deals with neighboring nations. In particular, he tries to strike a deal with Egypt for protection. Through engineering feats, we know that Hezekiah builds an aqueduct to make sure there's water in the city of Jerusalem. And really what Hezekiah is doing is he is trying to, in his power, in his way, trying to do what God says I will do, not you, Hezekiah. And so we know that God speaks to Hezekiah, and he actually reveals to Hezekiah that he needs to be putting his trust in God. And then in verse 16, he talks about the stone laid in Zion, the chief and cornerstone. And it is a clear allusion to the coming Messiah, Jesus, who would come as the foundation piece of our faith. And also in Psalm verse 118, we read further on in our passage, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. So capstone, there's a couple of ways that you can talk about this. Doug Burt took me aside after service, and I thought I had done thorough research, and I'm not a mason by any stretch or a stone worker, so you'll have to bear with me for a moment. But the research that I did said that capstone was the most important piece in a stone structure. So if you're talking about an archway, that capstone, that centerpiece, Doug Burt said it was called a T-stone. That T-stone provides all the structure and strength in the archway of a stone arch. I remember as a kid, a missionary coming to talk about his work in South America and talking about how he had a little bit of knowledge in bricklaying. And so they were building a building, and he did an archway, a main archway for the building for this local church in South America where he was. And the men and women were so absolutely enthralled with the beauty and how this arch could actually stand on its own, that every single room, the bathroom, the entryway, the front door, the back door, the classroom doors, they all had to be made with arches because they just loved them so much. Well, Jesus is the foundation piece, but we also read in the passage that he is precious to believers. And he is that peace that we look at with beauty and awe. The Beatles could only dream of being adored and honored the way that Jesus is. Not that Jesus could be, the way that Jesus is. Right? Because we don't make Jesus Lord. Jesus is Lord. So he is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is precious to us. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation. We believe you're all to us. But he's also rejected by some. Rejected by some, but actually the chief capstone. So some people will reject Jesus. And even though they see him for who he is, they will still reject him. Now, I've done something over the years. I have, as I've walked out the doors to go to the welcome area or to go to the offices or go home, I take a little gander to the right, just immediately right as I'm walking out the doors. And you'll notice in between the entryway and the sanctuary here, there's a little side wall that points towards Farm Boy. And down there you'll notice that there's a cornerstone. And it's a pretty significant stone. It's got some writing on it, dedicated to the glory of God. Frank and Pauline Eady actually took me aside after first service and said, you know, our very first Sunday at KBC was the day in which they had their ceremony and they celebrated the cornerstone. And they couldn't imagine that people would come at 11 o'clock and the place was full and there was nowhere to sit. They almost decided not to come at all because they thought, well, there's no room for us. And then they discovered that this was a special celebration. It was the very first Sunday meeting in this new sanctuary. Well, I've often wondered as I looked at it, and probably I've looked at it probably for an hour or so, not all at once, but as I've walked by, taken just a few moments, and sometimes I'll just stop and I'll think about it. And I've often wondered what's inside that thing. You know, because people like play stuff, right, inside the cornerstone. And I often wondered, you know, is there a hymn book in there? Is there a bulletin? Maybe Pastor Doug's golf ball that he got a hole-in-one with. Did you know that Doug Ward got a hole-in-one playing golf? Did you know that? You know, what a day that must have been. Not the day he got the hole-in-one, but when you all laid that cornerstone. The building is complete. Well, that's actually not true. Right, and we celebrated actually a further completion of the building. We shredded the mortgage a couple years ago, and then you know it's kind of like getting a BA in university. BA just stands for begin again, right? And then you go on and you get more, and you discover that you're really just a lifelong learner. And well, the truth is this place needs doors and windows and a roof and insulation and electricity and technology needs to be in working order and you know I might terrify Ron Jones if I keep going too much further describing that, but the elders and their governing council and our leadership in the church, they work through all of those things because this building continues and we continue to maintain it and to add upon it. Well, what if I told you that Jesus isn't done with this? And so we are called to bring people closer to Jesus, but he calls us a living stone. And each and every one of us are called to actually lay down our lives and to let God take us. And he says that he will put us in the absolute perfect place in his building. Now, there's a problem that arises. Well, first off is we want to continue to do this. We want to continue to throw these stones. And the truth is, it's called the living stone for a reason. It's alive. It can choose. It can move. But it doesn't mean that God will stop his building business. As you come to him, notice in the text, as you come to him, that is present active, middle. So we're talking about a continuous process here as we come to Jesus. Not just as other individuals come to Jesus, as I daily come to Jesus, the living stone. And he uses me and he builds me up. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices. So that brings me to two more points that I want to refer to. First off is, you are a living stone. You have a part to play in God's kingdom. But if we are too busy, and if I let anxiety rule my life, I will continue to cast these stones. If I let anger continue to rule my life, I will continue to cast these stones. If I let fear, if I let doubt, if I let pride. Bob and I and some others were away to Winnipeg for some spiritual renewal. And one of the exercises was we had to be very transparent about some of our weaknesses and failings. And the individual, Steph, who led us, one of the very first things he talked about was pride. And he basically talked to about 500-600 people, and he said, okay, so we're all going to check pride on here. And when I want to be the one who dictates where this stone goes, where my heart goes, where my life goes, then I'm not offering myself as a living stone. Too busy throwing to let God have you. Wanting to be the corner or capstone when God has a beautiful spot near the window or the door. In more general terms, not liking the life that God has laid out for you. That's a big issue. Right? And it's not just Cousin Eddie who spends his whole life waiting for a middle management position and so he just never gets on with it. Being called to a life of celibacy when we desire companionship. Being overcome with addiction. When it comes right down to it, it's because we're trying to feed a desire that hasn't been fulfilled because we're not letting God in and not letting God place us where he would have us. We can also be a stumbling stone or an irritant. I battled kidney stones for about 5 years, about 20 years ago. It was brutal. Little tiny little fleck of pepper sometimes. Crazy painful. I pray that I won't be a little fleck of pepper in my daughter's life. And the truth is I can be an irritant. I pray that I won't be an irritant or a stumbling block to my coworkers. The truth is that I know I have before. And I could go on and on. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we are being built. Right? This is a work in progress. So it's not an issue of, okay, I'm complete. It's an issue of, I will surrender daily to His will and His way, and I'm going to lay down my stones, and I'm going to choose and let Him direct my path. And He's merciful. We read at the end of our passage that before we didn't have mercy, but now we do. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God doesn't give us what we deserve, but He chooses to love us and to build us up into His house. He continues and concludes with, we are a holy priesthood. When we are part of God's kingdom, we actively play a part in bringing others closer to Him. Right? And that's what we attempt to do at KBC. We share, we grow, and we serve. So we share Jesus. Every opportunity that we can think of that is feasible and we have the ability to do, we try to do that. So that we have conversations so that we might introduce others to Jesus. We share Jesus. Dinner theater. Dinner theater is a way in which we can invite our neighbors and our friends to come in to experience something that, frankly, isn't churchy, if I can use that term. But it continues the dialogue in a relationship so that we might, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have conversations of faith. I have seen that happen in my 3.5 years here at KBC. I've literally seen that happen. I've seen someone come through the doors for dinner theater, and they end up coming regularly to church. The other way is to grow. We grow in Him. We grow deeper in Him. I'll totally blatantly put a plug in. You know, tomorrow night, Monday nights, we're going through a small group, Thriving in Babylon. We're discovering through the life of Daniel how he didn't just survive in a pagan anti-God culture. He thrived. And as we look around at our world and we see how our world marginalizes and really just despises anything to do with God and the church, we are discovering that we can, like Daniel, thrive. But our church has a robust small group ministry. We gather together so that we might be able to go deeper together, that we might go deeper in relationship, not only with our Heavenly Father through Christ and the power of His Spirit, but that we might go deeper and further together as a family of faith. And we serve Him. In lots of ways we serve Him. Frank and Pauline are going to travel for, see how far $290 gets them. And they are going to serve Christ doing that. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. But you know what? You don't have to spend $290 to do that. Open table, you can serve our community. We have the Big Give coming up. If you like to ride a bicycle and you think you can keep up with Robert, you can bike all the way to Quebec City and you can minister and serve others. That's just a few of the limitless ways. It's almost like the imagination of a child in a driveway full of gravel. The ways in which we can serve Christ by serving others. And when we do that, when we allow the Lord to take us and build us, we proclaim and declare His glory. He wants to put you somewhere where He can totally, totally talk about His Son Jesus. He wants you to be the focal point of a conversation, maybe even with words, but truly with actions. He wants you to be a part of His house. Because the truth is He still moves stones. Now, I've got a few stones. And I have three in particular that I keep in my desk. It reminds me of the passage in Corinthians where Paul says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So I've got these three stones, and laser etched on them are just the words faith, hope, and love. It's a reminder to me that I am a living stone. And that without Christ as my chief and cornerstone, faith, hope, and love are going to be very difficult. And I will more often than not use these as projectiles and not as praise for His honor and His glory. He is and continues to be in the building business. Would you give Him your stone? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You, Father, that You continue to build Your kingdom here. Father, we thank You for the way in which You continue to build us and use us and shape us to be the people that You've created us to truly be. Father, help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, affirm to us today that Jesus is the essential piece to this building project. Father, we come to Him. We want to share in His identity. We want to share in the glory to come, a rich inheritance through Christ Jesus. Lord, as Your kingdom is established, not only here, not only in our hearts, but Lord, as You build Your family of faith, You build Your house, it will change the world. Father, be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.